Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the information accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin from the very last line of Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis. You'll notice that we have a triangle followed by a double underline. This is a continuation of the series of comments made by Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani in the name of Rav Yonasan regarding people who are commonly thought to have committed grievous sins because of the simple reading of the Psukim in the Tanakh, but in reality, they did not commit those sins. So far, we have discussed the issue concerning Reuven and his supposed intimacy with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And according to Shmuel Bar Nachmani and Rav Yonasan, that intimacy never took place. And we also discussed the sons of Eli, who, according to the simple reading of the Psukim, allegedly conducted themselves immorally with women. According to Shmuel Bar Nachman and Rav Yonasan, that never took place. And in each one of these cases, we had to understand the Psukim that presented them as such. And now, at the bottom line of Nun Hey Amid Beis, we continue with the series of observations. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman and Rav Yonasan, Kol Ha'oimer, now we continue at the top of Nun Vav Amid Aleph, B'nei Shmuel Chatu Eino Ela Toeh. And anyone who claims that the sons of Shmuel, the Hanovi, Shmuel the famous prophet, those that claim his sons were guilty of accepting bribes in order to twist justice are merely making a mistake. They never did such a thing. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayehi kasher zokein Shmuel, velo holchu banav bidrachav." The pasuk describes Shmuel in his later years. His sons did not follow in his ways, in the ways of their father. They didn't reach the high level of piety of their father, but they also didn't commit the grievous sin of accepting bribes. So then what am I to make of the pasuk that says that they followed the money, which would indicate they accepted bribes? So the Gemara answers, Shelo asu kamaisa vihem. They didn't follow the ways of their father. So that, being that they didn't reach the level of their father, so the pasuk labels them as following the money. Shahoya Shmuel Hatzadik Mechazi B'chom Mekomis Yisrael V'don Oysom B'arehem. The way of Shmuel was to travel all over the country and conduct court sessions, judgment in the locales of the population of the people. And Shenemar, and as the Pasuk indicates, V'holach midei shono v'shono v'sivev v'yisael v'hagilgo v'mitzpeh v'shofat es Yisrael. The Pasuk indicates he traveled all over the country for the purpose of judging the masses. V'heim lo asu kein, they didn't do thusly. El yoshu b'oreim kidei laharbo schar l'chazoneim l'sofreim. So here's where the questionable behavior of his sons arose in so far as that they sat in their own towns and didn't travel all over the country with the express purpose of enriching their own local court scribes and court officials, as one can understand that every case that comes to the court, there is a necessity of paying the court officials for their services. So that's what their problem, so to speak, was they were interested in enriching their own local court officials, as opposed to following the way of Shmuel and traveling all over the country to meet the people in their own locations and judge them. So there was a certain type of money element involved in their choice of conduct, but it's not what the simple pasuk reading would have suggested, that they were accepting bribes. Ketanoi, the Gemara says here, like we saw before with regard to Reuven, that the issue is a machlokes tanoim. Vayitu acharei habetza. Rabbi Meir Omer, chelkom shalu b'fihem. They, the sons of Shmuel, sought out their portion of Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon is one-tenth of a person's produce is tithed and given to the Levi. They were Levium, and since they were leaders of their time, they sought out their portions. Rashi on the second narrow line says, Chelkom shal b'fiyam, Meiser Rishon roi lohem shalavim hayu, the Maiserishan tithe which is fit to them as they were Levium, Shalu Befihem, they requested, Mitoch Shayu Gedoyle Hador Veshoftim, since they were leaders and judges, Lo Hoyu Monim Mehem, people wouldn't refuse their request. Ushar Levium Aniyim Mitzdarim, the other impoverished Levium would lose out as a result. As far as Rabbi Meir is concerned, they didn't twist judgment. They simply requested their portions, the people's Maiser Rishon, thereby depriving others of what they might have received. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Malai Etilu al Bale Batim. Rabbi Yehuda says their guilt was that they had taken their money and invested it with businessmen who would invest it for them and share in profits. And as a result of that, they, the sons of Shmuel, were partial in judging those people by whom they had invested their money. And there was an element of misjustice when their cases came to be judged by the B'nai Shmuel, and that was their sin, their inability to remove themselves from those kind of cases, and hence there was a twisting of justice. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kupo Yisir Shomaisu Notlu, they took more than they had coming to them in the Maiser tithe. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ma Tonois Notlu Bizroa. There are a couple of pshatim in Rashi, and that is the one pshat is that they took the Matnas Kahuna from Chulin slaughterings, from common slaughterings. The Zroel Chaimet Keva are supposed to be given to the Kohen, the arm, the cheek, and the stomach of every kosher animal slaughtered is given to Kohanim. They took them, even though they were not deserving of it. They were Levium. And another pshat in Rashi is that they, when it comes to the Meiser, you're not supposed to request it, you're supposed to wait till it's given to you. And their sin was that they requested it. So, as you look at over these different shitas tanoim, you see that with regard to the issue of their twisting justice, Rabbi Yehuda says, in fact, they were guilty of twisting justice. as a result of their having invested money with particular individuals that later came to be judged. But Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakama, that is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Akiva, don't say thusly. The Gemara continues, Omar of Shmuel bar Nachman or Rabbi Yonison, Kolo Omer David Choto, Eino Elo Toya. Anyone who claims that David committed a sin by taking Bathsheba, who was a woman that he married, but she had previously been married to another man, Uriah Hachiti. Once again, by looking at the psuk in a very superficial fashion, it would appear that David took her before she received a divorce from her first husband. If that had actually been the case, so then David would have been guilty of a major sin of taking of taking for himself a married woman. The fact is that he did not do thusly. So those who say that David sinned in that are merely making a mistake. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayidavid l'chol drochov maskil v'ashem imo v'chulei." David was successful in all his ways, and the Almighty was with him. Could it possibly be that he had sinned in this grievous crime of ashesish, of immorality, of intimacy with a married woman, and the divine presence would be with him? No. So if the Pasuk reports that the divine presence, the Shechina, was with him, with David, he did not commit the sin. So then what am I to do with the Pasuk that seems to say, why did you desecrate the words of Hashem to commit evil? So the Gemara says, read the Pasuk carefully. He had a desire to be with her before she received the divorce document to get, but he didn't do it. Rashi points out that in the course of wars, soldiers would send divorce documents from the battle so as to prevent certain problems that could arise otherwise. Some of the things that Rashi points out is that a soldier would send a get to his wife from the battle so that in the event that he's killed, she should not become a yevama, which is the din when a person dies in the event that he doesn't have any children with his wife, so she marries his surviving brother. And many times the surviving brother is really undesirable for the woman. So as a divorced woman, she wouldn't become a yevama. Or there's a possibility that if she wouldn't be divorced, then the soldier would be lost at battle. She'd be considered aguna and not be able to remarry because of not knowing the whereabouts of her husband lost at battle. Or he might become captive and she'll have no option but to remain an aguna. So the solution was that soldiers would send divorce documents from battle to divorce their wives, freeing them from these problems. So all the Pasuk is saying is that he had thought to be with her before she received the divorce, but he didn't. David was not with her. Omar Rav, there's a point that will last a number of lines. You can see we have a long point marking. The nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with descending vertical dashed line taking you down to the second wide line of the Gemara. And we will see here that Rebbe, who was a descendant of David HaMelech, he darshans the pasuk that the Gemara will be quoting in a favorable light for David. Omar Rav, we continue in the Gemara. Rebbe de Osimi David, Rebbe was a descendant of the King David. Mahapech v'dorish b'susei de David. He goes out of his way to explain the psukim in a favorable light for David. And you can see with our markings, we've underlined the psukim that will be quoted and numbered the different psukim. We'll be numbering the four different psukim that Rebbe darshans. That, once again, if you read the psukim without any explanation, you might come to condemn David's behavior. But Rebbe doesn't see it that way, as we continue in the Gemara. The pasuk says, "Madua bozisa es devar Hashem lasos hara." Why did you desecrate the words of Hashem to commit evil? Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, when you look at this pasuk, you'll notice mishinu ra'azu mikol ra'az shebetura. The raw featured in this pasuk, which says that you did ra, is different than evil described in all other places in the Torah. Shekol ro shebetorah ksiv behu vayas. In other psukim where someone is described as having committed evil, it says, and he did evil, vayas. Kan ksiv la'asos. Here it says la'asos hara, not vayas hara, but la'asos. This is in the infinitive form, where he intended to do bad. Shebikesh la'asos v'lo'asa. All that one sees in this pasuk is that he had an intention to do something sinful, but he didn't actually do it. And with regard to Jewish law, intent does not create accountability, with the exception of idolatry. The pasuk says, "Es uri hachiti hikisa b'cherev." You the pasuk would translate as you killed Uriah by the sword. What does that really mean? Shehoyu l'choladunu v'sanhedrin v'lo danta. That Uriah himself had displayed problematic behavior, one of a rebellious nature, rebelling against the king. And in fact, rebelling against the king is punishable by death. And the problem that the pasuk raises against David is that he should have brought him to Sanhedrin for judgment, and he didn't do that. The pasuk says, "V'es ishto lokachta l'cholishan." You took his wife as your own, and well, again, that would look on the surface as being a problem, but Rebbe says, and you look, if you look at this pasuk carefully, you see that Likuchin yesh lecha ba. You took her in a correct, in a rightful, in a legal fashion. In other words, the kiddushin, the marriage offer that you made to her, did take hold because she was not an eshasi. She was not married at the time that you took over, that you moved in to take her. The Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rav Yonasan call. And it's interesting to note that this is the we have the series that we're working with in our Gemara. The triangles you noticed were this Rav, Rav Shmuel Nachmani Amar Rav Yonasan says, "Kol hayoytzu l'milchemes beis David, all soldiers who went to battle, koysev get krisus l'ishto, prepared a, they wrote a divorce document for their wives." Shnemer v'es aseres charitzia cholof v'ela tovi l'sar ha'elef v'es checha tifkoid v'shalom v'es aruva son tikach. This pasuk is featuring soldiers in the time of Shaul, but David continued this practice as well. And it says at the end of the pasuk, and that's what we're focusing on, we're not translating the rest of the pasuk, v'es aruva son tikach, my aruva son. What does that mean? That the aruvasan tikach tani Rav Yosef dvarim hamu'uravim beino leveino, that Rashi explains dvarim hamu'uravim beinehem hainu kiddushin. Kiddushin is the marriage. Tikach means tevateil, cancel that which created the mixing or the joining of the couple. The joining of the couple is accomplished through kiddushin, through marriage. Take it away, cancel it. Al yidei get shetavi lohem min hamelchama, that will be brought from the battle. So, in fact, Uriah, who went to battle, had sent a divorce document to his wife. So when David took Bathsheba, she had already received the divorce document from her husband Uriah. So she was free to be married by David. no sin. The pasuk says, "V'oyser harakta b'cherev b'nei Amon." Now, the translation of the pasuk would indicate you killed, you were responsible for the you murdered Uriah. However, Rebbe says, "Ma cherev b'nei Amon I aton nen ashalov." Just like for the Ammonites that are killed in battle, you are not guilty of any offense. So too, af Uriah hachiti I aton nen ashalov. So too, for the death of Uriah, you are not to be punished. My time, why is David not guilty for the death of Uriah? Answer: Moreh b'malchus have. He, Uriah, was someone who showed signs of rebelling against the king. The Amarle, Uriah had said to David, he had spoken the following: Va'adoni yoyav v'avde adoni al pnei hasod echonim. When Uriah reported to David concerning the battle, he referred to Yoav, who was the general, as his, Uriah's, master. When you speak to the king, you don't say regarding someone else, my master. This is the pshat that Rashi uses. Tosfos, in the name of Rabbeinu Meir, has an alternative pshat in explaining what his rebellion was, but for the time being, we're using Rashi's pshat that Uriah referred to someone else as his master, as opposed to King David himself. Omar Rav, Kimainis Bey Bedavid, when you look into the life of David, Lo Mishkachas Bey Bar Midu Uriah, you will find no shortcomings with regard to David, except for the matter concerning Uriah. Rashi says, "Rak bedvar Uriah mikrok siv kach bedvar Uriah shegoram lo yohareg," that David caused his death. The way that David behaved in causing Uriah's death by sending him to the front lines to be killed, that is a questionable act of conduct on the part of David. But, as Rashi says, but not the sin, or not the issue of Bas Sheva. That was not a sin. Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Rak bedvar Uriah hachiti. Abaye kshisha romi derav adarav. Abaye kshisha raises a contradiction in Rav's. Mi omar Rav hachi. Did Rav say thusly, that the only problem of David was the matter concerning the death of Uriah, how he, David, caused Uriah's death? The Omar Rav, but Rav said there was another problem that David was guilty of. Kibel, David, Loshon Hara, that David was guilty of accepting false speech against, we'll see in the upcoming Gemara, against Mephibosheth. So it's not safe. It's not accurate to say that his only sin was the matter of Uriah's demise. There was also this problem, Kashia. So this remains a difficulty. On the one hand, Rav says that the only problem you find with David is the matter of Uriah. But on the other hand, you see that Rav says that he was Mekabel Loshnor. He accepted a slanderous speech. And that, of course, is forbidden. Well, Kashia, the Gemara leaves that point in understanding Rav and his approach to David as a problem. Gufa. At this point, the Gemara turns to this particular issue and focuses in on it. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we feature diamonds in the Gemara. The diamond represent Deos, Im Kibel David Lashon Hara. Did David accept slanderous speech concerning David, concerning Mephibosheth? Let us give a little bit of background to this Gemara. The David HaMelech, in his latter years, was victimized by his sons, Avshalom's rebellion. And that caused David to run, to flee. And the people who were loyal to David, actually many fled with him. Preceding David HaMelech, there was a king named Shaul HaMelech, King Saul. And Shaul HaMelech lost his kingdom, and that itself is a separate topic. Why? But he lost his kingdom. King Saul, Shaul HaMelech, had a son, Jehoiachin, who was killed in battle, but he in turn had a son, Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was a descendant of a previous king, and in the meantime, David HaMelech had ascended the throne, and as everyone knows, David was very close with the father of Mephibosheth, with Jehoiachin, and he, and as a result, he had treated Mephibosheth in a very kindly fashion initially when he assumed the kingship. As we roll the clock ahead many years, at the time of the merit of Shalom, so David, as we said, was on the run, but eventually he was returned. He was reinstated to his throne. And in the course of that fleeing, so David inquires as to the whereabouts of Mephibosheth. There enters the picture a character by the name of Tziva. Tziva was a slave of Mephibosheth. He was a slave of the household of Shaul. So we find Tziva, a slave, entering the picture, and David HaMelech asks Tziva, well, where is Mephibosheth? With that background in mind, let us continue in the Gemara and try to explain things as we go along. But before we do so, just let us recount the fact that we mentioned we have diamonds in the Gemara, which highlight Rav, and later on Shmuel. There's a machlokis whether Rav accepted slanderous speech, whether David accepted slanderous speech concerning Mephibosheth, and more specifically his absence in joining David, which casts a poor light on him for not having joined him in his fleeing from Avshalom, leaving room for one to think that maybe Mephibosheth has had his eyes on being reinstated to the monarchy, something that was in the hands of his grandfather. According to Shmuel, on the other hand, David wasn't guilty of accepting slanderous speech, but rather he actually had evidence of Mephibosheth's wrongful intents. Now the Gemara, Gufa, Rav, Omar, Kibel, David, Loshen Hora, Dichtiv. The Gemara gives us some background. It says, Vayomer lo HaMelech, Eifohu. David HaMelech asked Tziva, where is Mephibosheth? Vayomer Tziva el HaMelech, Hinehu beis mochir ben Amiel, below Davar. He said, behold, he is in this location, below Davar. And Rashi explains, below Davar is taken to mean he is an ignoramus. Mephibosheth is not a man of Torah wisdom. Uksiv, there's another pasuk that says, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikocheu Bibeis Mochir Ben Amiel, Milo Davar. And here, Rashi explains that David sent for Mephibosheth and found him to be full of Torah knowledge. So we see that this Tziva is capable of lying. On the one hand, Tziva describes him as being empty of Torah and wisdom, and David finds him, that is Mephibosheth, to be full of wisdom. Michti, let us look into this matter. Chazye de Shikra Hu, the Shakra Hu, we see that David sees that he is a liar. Ki hader alshin iluya my taimo kiblo minei. This is a rhetorical question, being that Rav said that David accepted Lashon Hara. Why is it that when he then again spoke ill of that, let's avoid pronouns, why is it then that when Tziva again spoke ill of Mephibosheth, did David accept his stories, that is, Siva's stories. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, and this is a later point, this is where we're now looking at the rebellion of Avshalom. Dichtiv, Vayomer HaMelech, and David said, Vaye ben Adonecha, and he asked Siva, where is your the son of your master? In other words, where is Mephibosheth? Vayomer Tziva LaMelech, Siva said, Hine Yosheb Yerushalayim. Behold, he is in Yerushalayim. And when he said he is in Yerushalayim, meaning he didn't go with you when you were fleeing Avshalom. He sat in Yerushalayim, hoping for the monarchy to be restored to him, to the descendants of Shaul, the previous king. So that this is a story that Tziva told, and in fact, that was not the case. That it was not true that Mephibosheth was sitting there waiting for the kingdom to be restored to him. But if you'll ask why he didn't join him, so there is another reason, a legitimate reason why Mephibosheth didn't join him. The Gemara continues, Umenolon dekibel mine, where do we see that David actually accepted the slanderous speech concerning Mephibosheth? Dichtiv, Vayomer HaMelech, Hine Lucha Kol Asher Mephibosheth, David said, all of Mephibosheth's property I am bestowing unto you. Vayomer Tziva, Yishtachavisem Tzachein Be'einecho Adoni HaMelech, and Tziva acknowledged his gratefulness to that. So, according to Rav, David was dealing with a person that was all. David was dealing with Tziva, a person he already saw to be capable of lying, and nevertheless accepted this slander about Mephibosheth that he remained in Yerushalayim, didn't join you in your fleeing from Avshalom, because he was waiting for the monarchy to be restored to him, and we see that David actually acted on that story by bestowing all of Mephibosheth's property to Tziva, this slave. Shmuel disagrees and says, Lo kibel David loshen hara. David wasn't guilty of accepting slanderous speech, but rather dvorim hanikorim chaza bei. He saw in Mephibosheth things that would point out to corroborate the story mentioned by Tziva. Dichtiv, when Mephibosheth ben Shaul yorad likras hamelech, Pasuk says that when David eventually came back from his flight from Avshalom, so Mephibosheth appeared to David, lo saraglos osfamov es begodov lo kibes, and he came in a very disheveled appearance. And that's what the Pasuk describes as being having overgrowth of hair and unwashed clothing, indicating that he was not anticipating the king's return. If you're coming to greet someone that you view as the king, you would, of course, clothe yourself and make yourself presentable. And he didn't do that. So it indicated to David that the report of Tziva was correct, that he, Mephibosheth, was quite upset with the return of David. Uksiv, and here we have a pasuk that's going to last a long time as far as a number of lines of Gemara, and hence we use a long marking on the side, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, to indicate thusly. Uksiv, and the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayhi ki ba Yerushalayim likras hamelech." When Mephibosheth came to greet the king, "Vayomer lo hamelech, lama lo alachti mi Mephibosheth? Why didn't you join me in my flight from Avshalom?" "Vayomar," and Mephibosheth says, "Adoni hamelech, avdi rimoni, my slave tricked me. Ki omar avdochech b'shali hachamor verkavoleo. I had requested the slave to prepare a donkey for me to ride on to go with you, in order to go with you. Ki pisach, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Avdecha. Pisach means I am lame. Mephibosheth was a lame individual. Vayiragel ba'avdecha el Adoni HaMelech, and he, in turn, though, spoke ill of me to you. Adoni HaMelech, and Mephibosheth continues his speech. It says, you are Kimalach Elokim. To me, you are like an angel of the Almighty. V'asei ato beinecha. And do whatever you find find good in your eyes. So you have the scene with a disheveled Mephibosheth appearing to David upon David's return to Yerushalayim. And David had already heard a report that from Tziva that Mephibosheth was upset with David's return. In other words, Mephibosheth was anticipating regaining the monarchy. And upon his return, he sees Mephibosheth looking, in fact, like Tziva's report. He's listening now to this story that Mephibosheth is saying. Vayomer lo hamelech, lama tadaber o devarecha? Why do you continue your chatter? Amarti atov et Tziva tachliku es asodeh. I rule that you and Tziva will divide your property. We're talking about property that was due completely to Mephibosheth, and the king is saying, no, you are not going to have all of your property. You're going to divide it with the slave. Vayomer Mephibosheth el HaMelech, gam es hakol yikach achrei asher bo Adoni HaMelech b'shalom el beiso. As far as I'm concerned, let him take everything. The main thing is you came back in peace to your house. Omar lo. Here we explain the pasuk. Ani omarti. This is Mephibosheth's claim. I said, Mosai tovo b'shalom. When are you going to come in peace? When are you going to come back healthy and in peace to regain your throne? Viato seli kach. And this is how you behave to me. You take away half of my property. Lo alecho yeshli taroimas. I don't have a complaint toward you, Elohal Misha Viachava Shalom. My complaint is to the Almighty, the one who brought you back in peace. Hainu Dichtiv. It is based on this that the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, where a lot of genealogy is reported, is told. And it says, Uven Yehoinosim Riv Baal. Pasuk there says that the son of Yehoinosim's name was Riv Baal. V'chim Riv Baal Shmo, was that his name? Balo Mephibosheth Shmo, his name was Mephibosheth. The son of Yehoinosim was Mephibosheth, not Riv Baal. The word Elo, Mitoch Shosam Rivo in Bailov, but since he was argumentative, was strifeful with his master, meaning with the Almighty. Yotza Baskol v'omrolo, the heavenly voice came out and told Mephibosheth, Netze bar Netze. Netze, the word Netze is someone who is cantankerous, who is argumentative. You, the argumentative, the descendant of an argumentative one. Netze ha'damaron. Well, that he, Mephibosheth, is cantankerous, is strifeful. We just showed that, how he had complaints against the Kodesh Baruch Hu for bringing back David. Bar Netze, descendant of one who is strifeful. Dechtiv, the pasuk by Shaul HaMelech, his grandfather, by Mephibosheth's grandfather, it says, Vavo Shaul ad ir Amalek vayirev banachal. So you see the word in this pasuk vayirev, which has to do with reev, which is argumentative, but there is a more explanation to this. Omar Rebbe Moni al iske nachal. Now iske nachal is a reference to what's called the Eglo Arufa. Eglo Arufa is the breaking of the neck of a calf. This is a ceremony done when a murder victim is found between two cities. The closer city brings a calf to an uncultivated area, and its neck is broken as a form of penitence for them, this closer city to the murder victim, as having produced the murderer. That's all, of course, the possibility that he came from there. Shaul HaMelech, when battling the Amalekites, the Amaleki people, he did not kill off all of them. He left their animals and their women folk and their children alive. And that was a sin on the part of Shaul. But the rationale that he used was, if for one person who is killed, the Eglah Arufa is brought in, considered a whole big deal. It's a mournful and sad issue, and hence needing penitence. When one person is killed, how can I possibly kill so many innocent people? But that's a mistake. When it came to Amalek, he was instructed to kill all of them, including the children and the animals. So he didn't fulfill the words of Hashem. And that is what we're saying, that he also caused strife between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the people of Israel in his non-fulfillment of that law. So Mephibosheth was strifeful, as we saw, and his grandfather was strifeful, as we just attempted to describe. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, B'shal Shamar David Mephibosheth. Now, we have to point out that now the speaker is Rav. Rav said that David was guilty of accepting Lashon Hara, and that David's behavior toward Mephibosheth was incorrect. So, Rav says that Bishoshamar David Mephibosheth, Atav Tzivo Techalku Asasodeh, that you and when David said to Mephibosheth, said you and your servant Tziva will divide your land. In other words, David was taking away half of Mephibosheth's holdings, granting it to his slave. So Yotzabaskol Yomelo, a heavenly voice came forth and said, just like you caused this split in Mephibosheth's holding wrongfully, Rechavam Yerovam Yelchalku Esamlucha. Your grandson will lose part of the kingdom to Yerovam. In other words, there will be a split in the kingdom. And which is, when you learn the Tanakh, you see that that's in fact what happened. Yerovam ben Nevat took over the northern part of the nation of Israel. So, Mida Kenegan, Mida, measure for measure, just like you caused a split, so to your descendants will be engaged in a split, losing half of the kingdom. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Ilmole lo kibel David Loshen Hora, had David not accepted the slanderous speech, lo nechleko malchus beis David, the kingdom of the Davidic dynasty, or the kingdom of David, would not have been divided, v'lo avdu Yisrael avodah zarah, and they would not have come to idol worship, which is what in fact took place when Yerovam took over, v'lo galinu me artzeinu, and we wouldn't have been exiled. So the point is being made very loud and clear how grievous a sin and the acceptance of slanderous speech could be. Omar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmin Rav Yonison, Kol Ha'Omer Shlomo Chota, Eino Eloto. Anyone who claims that Shlomo HaMelech sinned in idolatry is merely making a mistake. Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'loi Ha'Levavu Shalom Im Hashem Elokov Kilevav David Aviv. Describing Shlomo, it says his heart wasn't complete and bonded with the Almighty as the heart of his father David. Kilevav David Hu Delo Havet. True, he didn't reach the level of piety of his father, however, mechtanami lo chota. But on the other hand, he also didn't commit the sin of idolatry. You notice we have a diamond here, and this is explained in our note on this side. These diamonds introduce psukim shemashma sheshlomo chota, that indicate that Shlomo did sin. So each time we have to explain these psukim in some other way, so as to maintain what Rav Shmuel bar Nachman and Rav Yonason says. He knows, what is he going to do with all of the evidence to the contrary? The pasuk says that in the toward the end of Shlomo's life, his wives tilted his heart. Now, tilting one's heart would indicate directed him toward idolatry. So the Gemara answers, and this takes a few lines to develop. You can see we have a long answer mark in the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. He says that pasuk is understood hahi k'Rabbi Nosson. This will be understood as Rabbi Nosson's teaching. The Rabbi Nosson Rami, Rabbi Nosson raises a contradiction and resolves it. On the one hand, the pasuk says that in toward Shlomo's upper years, his wives caused him to veer off the path. The Haksiv Kilavav David Aviv, we saw that other pasuk that like David, he was not Kilavav David Aviv who delohave michtanami lochata. He wasn't like his father in that very high level of piety, but nevertheless he did not sin. So how do you resolve these two psukim? Hachi ka'omar. Thusly, we should understand things. Vayile zikna Shlomo noshav hitu es levavo. Loleches acharei Elohim achirim. That's the more complete quote of the pasuk. As Shlomo aged, his wives bent his heart to walk, to follow other gods. Velo halach. The word loleches is dashed underline to indicate that their intention was to cause him to go astray, to follow idolatry, but that was simply their intent. But however, in actuality, he did not go. Loleches is the infinitive to go, but he didn't actually go. But does it not say Oz Yivne Shlomo Boma Lichmoy Shikutz Moav that Shlomo built an altar to Kmosh, which is an idol of the Moabite people? Shabikesh Livnos, once again he intended to build, he had an intention, but Velo Bona, but he didn't actually build it. He didn't actually worship Avodah Zarah. Well, if you're going to take the pasuk as Oz Yivneh as meaning something he intended to do but didn't actually do, well, what about this pasuk Oz Yivneh Yoshua Mizbech Lashem regarding Yoshua, who was a major figure of piety? Are you going to say Shebikesh Livnos V'Lobona that he intended to erect an altar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty, but didn't do it? Elo debona. Well, he did. The pasuk Oz Yivneh Shal Yoshua that he describing him building an altar means he actually built it. Hochanami debona. So too by Shlomo, it would go back to the question. Then it would mean he did build an altar in worship of this Moabite idol. So, from where are we going to discover that as was claimed that he didn't actually build the altar? If you're simply going to focus on the expression Oz Yivneh, that is not going to work. Elo Kedesanya. Here we have an answer. It's a long answer. We're taking in an entire Tanaic source. From here, we will learn that he did not actually build the altar. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi features a pasuk from Yoshio HaMelech. This is a king toward the end of the first Beis HaMikdash period who was renowned for having destroyed idolatry. Rabbi Yossi Omer, V'es ha-bomos asher al-penei Yerushalayim asher mimin lahar ha-mashcha asher bono Shlomo melech Yisrael la-ashtaros shikut sidonim. The bomos are the altars that were around Yerushalayim that were built by Shlomo to the different kinds of idols. Came Yoshio and destroyed them. Now, we ask a question. Efshar bo Asa v'lo biorom? Could it be that Asa, which is a previous king, a pious king, that he was on the throne and didn't destroy these idols? Yehoshaphat, also another pious king, v'lo biorom? Ad shebo Yoshio biorom? And that he too didn't destroy these idols until Yoshio finally came and destroyed them. But it's known that all idols that were in the land of Israel, Asa and Yehoshaphat, already had destroyed. Ella, so what are we to make of the pasuk describing Yoshio as having destroyed the idols? Ella makish rishonim lachronim. The pasuk is attempting to parallel the early generation with the latter generation. Ma achroinim lo osu. just like the latter generation, which is Yoshio, didn't make idols, v'tolav lehem l'shevach, and the Pasuk ascribes to them praise, even though they didn't act, correct ourselves, even though they didn't do, meaning Yoshio didn't actually destroy the idols, they were previously destroyed. So, and nevertheless, for the fact that he was pious, the Pasuk rewards him with these accolades. So too, Af Rishonim Lo Asu V'Tola Behen Lignai. So to Shlomo, the early generation, he was the Rishonim, meaning the first ones. He was very early. He was the second in the Davidic dynasty. He also didn't actually do the Avodah Zarah, and yet the Torah, the Pasuk accords to him this negative report. The main point here is that from here we see two cases of non-action, and yet the Torah accords them with, in the one case of Yoshua with praise, and the case of Shlomo with criticism. Question: V'ha'k si v'yash Shlomo rab hene Hashem. Pasuk says, and Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem. So that would seem that he was guilty of idolatry. So the Gemara says, no. Elo neshelo limchos benoshev lo micha. He should have protested his wives. Now his wives were engaged in idolatrous behavior, and he should have protested their behavior, and he didn't. Malav akosav kiluchato. So the pasuk regards him as if he had sinned. So lack of protesting, as we've seen in previous dapim, in recent dapim, lack of protesting is considered as if he sinned. We continue in the Gemara with a new series marking, and on the side we've indicated under Mivneh heading, these are Memros to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, comments made by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Noach lo lo'oso tzadik, shehei shamosh ledover acher. It would have been better for Shlomo HaMelech to be a servant in a service capacity, meaning like a janitorial capacity to idols, for Al Yichtevu Bo Vayas Hara Bein Hashem, and simply not to have that written about him. V'yomar v'yomar Shmuel, v'shol shenosu Shlomo es bas Paro, when Shlomo took the daughter of Paro unto him as a wife, Hichnisalo Elef Mine Zemer, she brought into the monarchy or into the kingdom 1,000 different kinds of song. The Omro Lo, and she told Shlomo, Kach Osin Lavodas Zora Plonis, Vekach Osin Lavodas Zora Plonis, for Lo Bichaba. She was full of idolatrous information, thusly you serve this idol, and thusly you serve that idol, and he did not protest. The Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'shal Shenosa Shlomo Es Bas Paro, at the time that he married the daughter of Paro, Yorah Gavriel, the angel Gavriel descended, V'noatz Kono B'yam, and he wedged a pole, a rod, into the sea, V'ola Bo Sirton, and debris accumulated, sand and other matters, rocks and sand accumulated around this rod, the Olav Nivne Krach Godel Sheromi, and upon that eventually the large city of Rome was built, so that the seeds, and of course Rome eventually destroyed the base, the second base Hamigdash, but we see here an attempt to show a cause and effect, that the questionable behavior of Shlomo in trying to endear himself to these foreign powers by marrying their women actually sowed the seeds of eventual destruction. B'masni satana, in a Tanaic source, we are taught, Otsoayom sheichnus Yerovam shnei egle zov, on the day that Yerovam, who took over half of the kingdom we mentioned before, in the split with Rechavam, so the day that he set up the two golden calves, Echad bebeisel ve'echad bedon, one in the southern part of his monarchy, and one that was in Beisel, and the other in the northern part in Don, Nivnet Srif Echad, a hut was built. Vezeu Italia Shov, and that was the beginning of Greece. And we know, once again, cause and effect, that he started with Avodah Zarah in the Jewish nation, and eventually at that time the seeds of Greece were sown, and from there came great trouble for the Jewish people, and with a great focus on idolatry. Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer of Yonis and Kolmer, Yoshio choto eno eloto. Anyone who says that Yoshio sinned is making a grievous error. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayasa Yoshio bnei Hashem, Vayel b'chol derech David aviv. Yoshio followed the straight path and followed his predecessor, his great-great-grandfather David, in all his ways. So we see that Yoshio is a very pious individual. The pasuk says there was never a king like Yoshio that had done penitence. Well, if you say he had done penitence, it indicates that he must have been a sinner at the outset. So the Gemara explains, Shekol Dayan Shedon mi ben Shmoina ad Shmoinesre. There's another girsa that's brought in the Tur Hashalem that says din, that all judgments, that we have to point out that he ascended to the monarchy at a very young age, at age 8. So the Gemara says that all judgments that he judged from Miben Shmoina ad Shmoina Esrei, any judgments that he had ruled from age 8 till age 18, Hechziron Lahen, he reversed those judgments. Rashi explains that when he was 18, they found a Sefer Torah, and they started to learn the Torah in a more precise fashion. And Rashi says, Ad ben Shmoinesre, Ad ben Yutches, Shemot Zechukio, Es HaSefer, V'Iyem, V'Diktek, B'Tor, B'Dineo, B'Ksav, U'Bal Peh, V'Haven, Shemotah, B'Dino. And he understood that maybe all his previous rulings had mistakes in them. So that was the Shov, the act of return, was the reversal of judgments that he had made before he had learned Torah in a truly accurate fashion. The Gemara says, Shema Torma Notam Izev and Aslan. He might say, well, if he's reversing his judgment, so he took away from those that he had granted property or gave the winning decision to, and now took away from them and gave to the previous individual, to the other party. No, he didn't do that. Talmud Lomar Bechol Me'odoi Shenosel Mishelo. When it says he reversed his decisions, it means he paid out of his own pocket to those people that he had originally dispossessed. Upliga Darav. That means Rabbi Yonason's approach is at odds with Rav. The Omar Rav Ein Lecho Godol Bebali Tshuva Yosim Yeshio Bedoro V'Echod Bedorenu. There is no greater Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is someone who does penitence. There is no greater one than Yoshio in his generation and one in our generation. Manu, and who is that? Abba, Avua de Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. The Amrila, another version is Acha, Achva de Abba, Avua de Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. Two versions as far as the individual concerned who the great Baal Tshuva in his generation was. The Omar Mar, Rebbe Abba, the Acha, these are Rebbe Abba and Acha, Achi Havu, they were brothers. Omar of Yosef, the Ode Echad Bedorenu, and it was another great Baal Tshuva in our generation. Umanu, and who is that? Ukvon Bar Nechemyo Resh Gelusa. The Ukvon, the Exilar. Vahainu Nosan de Tzutzisa. He's also known as Nosan de Tzutzisa. We look at Rashi, Nosan de Tzutzisa, Al Shem Nitzutzin de Nura, sparks of fire, Shamalach Poshe de Siyod Vekibel Tshuvaso. The angel extended his hand and accepted his penitence. Omar, the Gemara continues, Omar of Yosef, Havi Yosifna, Bepirko, Vavakom, Minamnim. I was sitting in the lecture, in the Shir, and I was dozing off, Vechazoi Bechilma de Koposhet Yodei Vekible. And I saw this vision of the angel extending his hand and accepting Noson's penitence. With that, we conclude the fifth parak of Shabbos and our Shiur for today.